Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, same to you. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us today, as she always does, each and every Wednesday. So I'm going to begin with the market report today. Gold had a great day today. We had a high of 1,933. It did back off, still hovering about 1%, up $18 at $1,925. Silver was up 42 cents at $25.11. Platinum was up $12 at $890. Palladium was up 2 at 2,442. The USDX today was down 0.44 at 92.65. Crude oil was down $1.69 at 40.01. Paper markets today, the Dow is down, well, these aren't the final numbers, but as I'm looking, the Dow is down 98 points, 28,210. The NASDAQ was down 31 points at 11,484. The S&P was down 7 at 3,435. The 10-year yield popped over 80.82%. And European Asia markets, London was all down. London was down almost 2%. Germany was down almost 1.5%. And, of course, you know, everyone is expecting the stimulus, and the markets reflected that with a weaker dollar and a weaker Wall Street and stronger gold. So that's the trend that we are on. We'll talk about that trend when we come back from this first break of the program today. As the first segment, we are joined by Wendy Wilson. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought you were going to pull a Walter Cronkite there, Melody. I thought you were going to say, and that's the way it is.
And that's just the way it is.
Well, yeah. We're going to talk about some radiation here today. We're going to be talking about our electromagnetic frequency radiation. We've talked about it before, but we got some new and exciting research that just came out this month. Now, in 2016, we actually talked about this. The dirty electricity is another name for it. Our electromagnetic radiation, or EMFs, you know, your Wi-Fi, all that good stuff. And back then I asked, you know, can mankind live safely with all this radiation? It's huge. It's really huge. The telecom communication industry is huge. And the thing is, can we live safely? Well, I guess that depends on, you know, if the research is truthful or not. So how we got to this path was, get this, in the late 1800s, a Polish physicist, Marie Curie, she is a French physicist, along with Henri Becquerel and a German physicist, Wilhelm Röntgen, they all got together and they created all these conducting experiments with electric current. And they discovered new rays of light, and they called them X-rays. They added other elements of barium and uranium and to the electricity, and they discovered this new light ray, and the energy later was named radioactivity, which radiology is now developed from. So Marie Curie she continued with her radiation experiments past what her colleagues were doing, but she exposed herself to so much radiation, she died at the age of 67 of plastic anemia. So the radiation killed not only her bone marrow, but her blood supply. Now, to this day, she was also, at the time of her death, she was working on lots of research papers and a cookbook, and these papers are in a shielded metal box because they're highly radioactive and unsafe to handle. So in the 19th century, we were, you know, put on this path that we knew little, very little about, which now is impacting our health in significant ways. So people are kind of conditioned to think, you know, that science is accurate, the results can be believed. But there has always been this question in the back of a lot of scientific minds out there. If we have if we have done our due diligence with regards to the EMF radio wave technology we're so dependent on now. So the Scientific American, I don't know if you've heard of this publication, but it's an old publication. It just reported that 5G is not as safe as we have been told it is. The Scientific American was founded in 1845, and it's kind of the watchdog. It's a scientific journal that kind of keeps scientific discoveries honest. So in October of this year, 2020, an article appeared in the Scientific American titled, "We Have No Reason to Believe 5G is Safe." Just, you know, spell it out, lay away it is. Mm-hmm. So the report is revealing the safety concerns of this new technology. So they, with rigorous scientific standards, the Scientific American is explaining their fact-checking reasons 5G is not a good idea. Here is Joel Moskowitz. He's with the University of California, Berkeley, who was involved with the studies. He says 5G, along with previous Wi-Fi and cellular technology, is much more harmful than the government and telecom industry wants the public to believe. So what Professor Moskowitz and others discovered is that the FCC's safety guidelines used to test these new technologies are outdated. So the measurements for the radio frequency radiation exposure limits were established in the 1990s, way before cellular, Wi-Fi, 2G, all the way to 5G was even in existence. So according to Scientific American, they state, in short, the safety standards that the FCC wishes to maintain are severely outdated and fail to reflect the growing body of scientific evidence demonstrating harm, end of quote. And then Dr. Moskowitz, or Professor Moskowitz, goes on to say, in the 1990s, there was not this broad concern and intensity of exposure to radio frequency radiation. With new research we now have available, the health concern are much more significant and include risk of cancer, among other things. And we're going to get into what they discovered in just a second. So I had the question, you know, what's different? What's different with the EMF radiation from the 1990s compared to today? And what did they discover about the EMF that we should know about? Well, they said the radiation reach is much further today. They also said, in addition to your microwaves, there are also added millimeter waves, which is your cellular technology. So you got two things coming at you. They also said the millimeter wave radiation is going to be your 5G. Okay, and they say 5G employs many active antennas for stronger beam formation, where it pulses and it has a phase array, and it causes this massive output and input, and they call them MIMO, massive input and output, and it's just abbreviated MIMO. So all of this goes beyond the FCC's capability, they say, of measuring the exposure, as they have not kept up with how to analyze this technology and have not done their due diligence, according to the Scientific American. Well, let's look at these millimeter waves for a second, because this is what your 5G is made of. And if we look at your 5G waves, according to this research now brought forward by the Scientific American, the radiation waves penetrate the human skin and even the cornea of the human eye. Just short-term exposure, they say, can have adverse effects to the peripheral nervous system, your immune system, and your cardiovascular system. They said long-term exposure is going to produce skin diseases like melanoma, eye diseases like ocular melanoma, and we're already seeing this in our schools because they installed Wi-Fi in the schools. And also, it causes sterility of the testes, so it'll be male infertility will be the result, they're saying. They said the FCC took into account only the exposure intensity limits, but failed to evaluate the frequency of the carrier waves. They ignored the signaling properties of the radio frequency radiation that increased the biological health impact, such as characteristic or pattern of the signal and the pulsing and polarization of the signal. So smart meters pulse every 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you got a rad meter, you could go to your smart meter and you'll see it just bounces every 4 seconds with a big radiation pulse. Of course, your electric company doesn't want you to know that. Another shortfall, they said, but that the FCC had is in their lab testing. This was incredible. Their experiments did not look at any biological effects at all, but only if it changed the behavior of the lab rat. That's it. Amazing. Astonishing. Mm. So other agencies have also been sounding the alarm and making their findings known. Actually, a large group of scientists... I do apologize. I thought I turned off my phone. Sorry about that. A large group of scientists have issued an international...
What a pleasant sound.
Oh, well.
It's not the normal...
I know. It's not your Ma Bell ringy-dingy, is it? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. What a large conglomerate of scientists have done is they have filed with the International EMF Scientific Appeal Report. They've appealed things. And this is what a quote from the Scientific American has said. They said, numerous recent scientific publications have shown that EMF affects organisms at levels well below most international and national guidelines. Effects include increased cancer risk, cellular stress, increased in harmful free radicals, genetic damage, structural and functional changes of the reproductive system, learning and memory deficits, neurological disorders, and negative impacts on general well-being in humans. They went on to say, damage goes well beyond the human race, where there is growing evidence of harmful effects on both plant and animal life. End of quote. So, Professor Moskowitz adds, many scientists have signed the appeal, constituting a majority of experts on the negative health impact of non-ionizing radiation, that's your 5G. He says they've published more than 2,000 papers and letters on EMF in professional journals, more than 500 peer-reviewed research studies have similar findings, and the FCC is derelict in their duty to have put telecom industry interests above the public's health. End of quote. Okay, so so where does all this radiation, cumulative non-ionizing radiation, come from? Well, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, part of the UN's World Health Organization, they list 250 class 2B carcinogens on the list as a radio frequency electromagnetic field result. So this type of radiation comes from radios, TVs, microwaves, and cell phones, and Wi-Fi. So if you haven't noticed, Wi-Fi is being really installed all everywhere, coffee shops, hotels, all throughout neighborhoods. I don't know about you, but in the neighborhoods down in North Carolina, they have them all throughout the neighborhood. They have them on poles, Wi-Fi transmitters on poles. They put it on airplanes. I have a customer that works in the airplane industry, and they install them on airplanes, and of course your schools. So the accumulative radiation effect has to be kind of enormous, though there's a few studies that have been taken seriously warning of these risks. So according to the National Cancer Institute, most common exposure to your radio frequency radiation is your wireless communication devices. So your cell phones, your smart meters, your portable wireless devices, your laptops and whatever, radios, I don't know, these things, buds, earbuds, right, that people have in their ears, microwave ovens, cordless phones, Wi-Fi, MRI devices, and satellite radar devices is on the list. They went on to say in a report that the young are the most vulnerable or susceptible to the toxic chemical fumes in our industry, in our world, in our environment, but they're also more susceptible to these radiation waves. So this was a report in the Journal of Microscopy and Ultrastructure. It was a report titled "Why Children Absorb More Microwave Radiation Than Adults and the Consequences." So it was saying that children absorb more microwave radiation than we adults. The consequences from their study showed that because their body is smaller, their skulls are thinner, and their brain tissue is more absorbent, that they are more at risk than adults of developing brain cancer. Fetuses are more vulnerable than the children are, and pregnant women should try to avoid the exposure. Studies also recommended adolescent girls who put their cell phones in their bras, their headscarves, their pockets, or under their pillows is not recommended. There's lots of data showing that overexposure to that type of microwave radiation produces serious health risk. Experts also are stating exposure limits are unacceptable and they need to be revised. Mark Gibbs, he asked the question in Network World, is Wi-Fi killing us slowly? Now, here's an interesting thing. In Huntersville, North Carolina, where I just moved from, Wi-Fi was installed, obviously, in the high schools about 2 years ago. And oddly enough, female students were developing a rare case of ocular melanoma. Okay? And that's what, you know, the Scientific American said this will do. It'll give you ocular melanoma. Now, health authorities in the state didn't know what was causing it, and they usually said this type of disease happens in much older people in their 50s. So the parents and the community called for an environmental occupation study, and they called in a Dr. Samuel Milham. He's an epidemiologist from California, and he came in and he looked it over. And he said it's a result of exposure to dirty electricity, which is your electromagnetic signals, which is meeting the criteria for this. He went on to say, it creates a steady bombardment of electromagnetic signals, and we develop health problems, and we're swimming in an electrical chemical soup.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, it's and the other thing is you know, watch where they put your Doppler radar devices too, because if you got a lot of Wi-Fi and 5G and Doppler radar, all that gets magnified. And, you know, you need to watch where the Doppler radars are for your, you know, weather systems. You know, they should never have, like, you know, parks or schools or hospitals or daycare centers or anything like that near those at all. So a lot of radioactive particles can get in your system, Melody. If you had an X-ray, you have it. So there's lots of herbs that can pull all that stuff out, though, and get rid of the heavy metals and radioactive particles. And so I encourage people to look into that.
You know, that is a good idea because, I mean, not very often. You used to hear people talk about the heavy metals all the time, and you don't hear so much about that anymore.
And you got them in your vaccines, especially your viral-based vaccines that, you know, you've got their you got the mercury in there. And when it goes to the bowel, because that's your last stop for toxin removal. So a lot of the stuff kind of winds up in the bowel, so you want to draw it all out. And a nice bowel cleanse can do that. It's not the same as making you regular. It's a different kind of thing. It draws out those impurities and even pharmaceutical residues you don't want to hold on to. So they can contact us at Apothecary Herbs if they're interested in learning how to do that. And we do have an Election Day sale of 20% off, orders of $50 or more, so they can call and ask more about that. And the number is 866-229-3663. And yes, the toll-free number is working.
Yay.
866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, we got to just be more proactive than ever, don't we?
We really do. And it always amazes me, you know, when you go get an X-ray and you're concerned about, you know, the radiation, they always say, well, it's just a small amount.
Like, yeah, but they put that metal vest on you.
Yeah, but it's just small amount.
Let's protect your genitals.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
It's a mad, 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 mad world. In France, the girls wear scanties, but on lamb chops, they put panties. I'm telling you, it's a mad, 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 mad world. A Japanese named Louis says the Chinese hate chop suey.
Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. Gold and silver, we have it. Great prices. You know, prices are just going to continue to move. We are going to see these record highs. It's not going to happen overnight, you know, unless something else happens, but as long as we're on this slow, steady trend, be happy with it. Take advantages of the pullbacks. You know, you're going to see premiums rise in your silver only because we're heading into the end of the year where they're going to stop making them to change over from 2020 to 2021. So, you know, anytime there's a, you know, a delay in getting product, you know, wholesalers are going to raise premiums on it. So, you know, you're looking at anywhere from about 475 on Silver Eagles to 5 over spots. Not bad. It's better than the $9 and $10 they were charging you a couple months ago. So, I don't think premiums are going to get much lower. So, and of course, if you buy volumes boxes, the monster boxes, we can help you out on that price too. With all my online comparison shopping, we're still pretty cheap compared to everybody else. So you're getting a good value here at Discount Gold and Silver. We have 90% silver. We have quarters and dimes. Right now, there's really the only thing that's really tough to get sometimes are those silver rounds, but they're even beginning to flow a little bit more. But, you know, everything else is pretty good right now, so take advantage of it. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, I've been getting a lot of inquiries about, we're going to talk about it later on in the program too, about cryptocurrencies. Oh, China's going 100% crypto, and PayPal now is going crypto, and I don't know what the excitement is about cryptocurrencies. I mean, I've certainly seen the price rise, but we'll get into that later. And it's not real, and it's all control. It's all about control. And, you know, the talk of central banks taking over, that's a scary thought. But before we get that in the second segment of the, or the third segment of the program today, you know, I talked earlier when we started the program before I did the market report about, you know, is there a stimulus? Isn't there a stimulus? Is there? Isn't there? And, you know, there just doesn't seem to be much urgency in these stimulus talks. I know President Trump said, hey, he's willing to go higher than what the Democrats want. But you have McConnell, he's saying, uh-uh. You know, we probably won't get this done before the election. So, So I don't know, but Dave, before I continue on this, wasn't it President Trump who actually told them to stop the negotiations at one point in time, just stop them?
Yeah, two weeks ago, he essentially told Mnuchin, he said, that's it, I'm pulling you back, we're not talking to him anymore. I believe that was on a Monday, and then certainly by Tuesday morning, talks were already back on again, and then certainly by the end of that week, maybe even a day or so earlier, is when he had said, tweeted, I should say, hey, Democrats, I see your $2.2 trillion and I up you an unspecified amount. So, you know, I mean, some people are all over the map. Others, I mean, just are playing to different constituencies. I mean, we see today that McConnell did vote, call for a vote in this Senate Republicans' $500 billion deal that failed 51-44, I believe, didn't come close to getting the needed amount. And, you know, people, the other faction of the Senate Republicans are saying if the House bill gets called up for a vote in the Senate, they'll filibuster it. So it doesn't bode well.
Hmm. Well, you know, we question our economy, you know, because all the numbers that we see and what the government what we get from D.C., you know, sounds like, you know, we're on the V-shaped recovery. And we try to bring the various reasons why we're showing the economy, that it really isn't true fundamentals that's keeping this economy going as well as it is. You know, there was a $2 trillion CARES Act. That helps. That helped the economy. And all the other benefits, too. All the other stimulus provided by the Federal Reserve to businesses, that has all helped to keep this going. That doesn't mean it's a healthy economy. And that's where you have to understand the difference. You know, thanks to the $2 trillion CARES Act, the median jobless worker received unemployment benefits equal to 145% of their pre-job loss wages, compared to 50% in normal times. And that's the $600 per week unemployment supplement that they received. You know, the creation of the special pandemic unemployment programs allowed millions more out-of-work Americans to access jobless benefits. That amounted to 7% of total personal income in June, a record far exceeding the 1.3% peak during the Great Recession. So, you know, the unemployed Americans, they did roughly double their liquid savings between March and July of this year. They spent two-thirds of the accumulated savings in August alone. And the results? The percentage of people who said their ability to afford household goods, that it improved. Not compared to some of the reports that we were reading earlier this week. Dave? I mean, it really is. I mean, you can't help but say, well, it helped those people. But it's not a good help. The majority of those people want to work, Dave.
It's a temporary help. And plus, we know that retail spending rose for the fifth straight month to its highest level on record in September. And that's despite the multitude of bankruptcies, failings, and other announced store closures in that sector. even the average credit score of individuals, of Americans, improved during the pandemic, reaching its highest level in July. Counterintuitive as well. Not since the FICO began keeping track of credit scores in 2005. In short, David Wilcox, who's a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, said the CARES Act worked, delivered a massive amount of financial support, and put a huge safety net under families very quickly. And then, he added, Americans were smart. They did rational things that an economist would have told them to do, which is to hedge against the possibility that $600 benefit might not be a permanent thing. Yes, we saved a little bit more. We started paying down some of our credit card debt. But a study of the pandemic's impact on food insecurity found that way back in April, 23% of U.S. households were food insecure, 34.5% of households with children. For households with children, that's more than triple the rate economists had projected before the pandemic began. So, what's next? Well, the economy continues to send profoundly mixed messages, as Melody just suggested. On the one hand, some experts say it's held up much better than many had predicted. On the other hand, a lot of numbers are showing a lot of strain. There's still close to 30 million Americans collecting unemployment benefits. A new study by the Ludwig Institute that we talked about last week shows that the true jobless rate is 26%. Not the measly 8% reported by the government.
That's 26% unemployment. So yes, the stimulus helped a lot of folks out there. $600 also kept a lot of folks from wanting to go back to work. So, you know, it's not healthy. And, you know, if they begin shutting down, you're already beginning to see Europe shut down again. We can't shut down again. It boggles the mind, and even thinking. So, you know, another stimulus, another 2-point, 3-point, so $1 trillion stimulus, really? Plus everything else. Just what the government is spending, and then in comes the you know, whatever administration's going to be. They're going to start talking infrastructure. That's how many trillions of dollars. Somebody's got to pay for it. So there you have it, taxpayers. You better start going out working some overtime so you can start paying your fair share of taxes. Good grief. You know, the Federal Reserve, I don't know why it's important to know that how Americans trust. I can't believe any American trusts the Fed. 34% saying they have a fair amount or a great deal of trust in the Fed. Like, really? Supposedly, the trust in the Fed rises with age, income level, and among those who say they know more about the institution. I'll guarantee you most of the people out there don't have a clue who the Fed is and what they do and how they do it. Hey, they keep the stock market up. They keep the economy, they keep the stimulus. They do the bailouts. I guess that's good. You know, I don't know why Jerome Powell. Well, yeah, because this whole game, the whole con game is all about confidence. So I guess, yeah, to that degree, you do have to have confidence for Jerome Powell. And he's trying to improve the Fed's standing on Capitol Hill and with the general public. Maybe he's just trying to keep his job. You know, so maybe he won't get canned, whoever gets into the next election and, you know, rates begin to rise, inflation begins to creep in. So I don't know. It's It's crazy, Dave. You know, I can't imagine that most people, no matter what their education, income, or age, what they truly know about the Federal Reserve.
Well, and you raise an interesting and good point, because I mean, whether this survey was of say 1,000 people, 500 people, even 5,000 people, it strikes me that the more population, adult population, you include, I can't believe that they're as dismal, on one hand, as dismal as a 34% rate is, I can't believe that one-third of the nation knows what the Federal Reserve is.
No, they don't.
I mean, we talked about a survey, I believe, it might have been a year ago now, it was pre-pandemic, people's knowledge of the Fed and what their responsibilities were, and very few people really got it right. They see the Fed's main role as printing money. Well, perhaps they were just a tad bit foresightful. but in any event.
Well, you know, in this one article that we're talking about, this one lady or guy, Jared, I don't know if that's a male or female name, Jared, I guess that's a male name, said that Powell should be deemed the hero of the economy. Are you kidding me? Jerome Powell is no hero. And the statement goes on and says he has done more than any other Fed chairman in history to expand the central bank's role. That's not a good thing to be a hero about. Most of the programs that Jerome Powell is using is Ben Bernanke's creations. So he's riding the coattail of Ben Bernanke, and then he's created some of his own. So a hero? I don't think anybody in banking or the Federal Reserve is ever a hero. You know, and again, that comes back, they do not know who and what the Federal Reserve is. And thinking that because what the Fed has done is going to keep us from a second Great Depression? No. It's not. It only delayed it. You can't have us creeping up on $30 trillion in debt. And our funded liabilities, Lord knows where they're at now. The CBO said they were over $200 trillion. And it ranged from 70 to 200 has been estimated. That's years ago. Hey, I hear the music. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you gonna let him hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know, yeah. Things are changing, yeah. Things are going your way. If you hold on for one more day, yeah.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. You know, heading in the break, we were talking about Federal Reserve, but we're going to go ahead and talk about rising food costs. And again, hitting emerging markets, driving millions into hunger, thwarting the central banks as they try to end the worst slump in decades. Global food prices have jumped nearly 8% since May. Supply lines have been disrupted. We had various weather hitting the crops. I mean, even here, this year we've talked about the rice crops, the flooding, the fires. I mean, it's just 8%. That's a big increase. The faster inflation has forced policymakers from India to Mexico to ease up on monetary stimulus just as their economies need it the most. You know, again, central bankers. It's all about central bankers. It's like they want to control everything. So food costs worldwide rose for the fourth straight month in September, led by vegetable oils and cereals such as wheat and maize. Policymakers who have been focused on preventing more bankruptcies and job losses are now also fretting about the jump in food prices, Dave.
Yeah, geez, it's a sorry situation. I mean, since households in poorer countries spend a larger share of their budgets on feeding themselves, food is a heavier weighting in their inflation indexes. So the jump in food cost has helped push some major emerging market central banks to pause or to slow interest rate cuts there. And that, of course, is blunting the main policy tool that others have been using to fight this downturn in their economies. Now, let's look at India for an example. Hamstrung by above-target price increases, their central bank left interest rates unchanged at its last two meetings, even as its economy suffers its worst crash in decades. Annual inflation quickened to 7.3% there last month, the fastest pace since January. Food prices, which make up nearly half of India's inflation basket of goods, jumped 10% from a year earlier. And again, ladies and gentlemen, these are the government published numbers, which is to say, as in our country, they're most likely higher, if not a lot higher, than what they're telling us they are. And quickly, in the other side of the world, Mexico, policymakers are in a similar bind. They slowed the pace of interest rate cuts last month and are now considering a pause in their monetary easing amid what looks to be that country's deepest slump since the 1930s. So Inflation. Food costs pushing a lot of people around the world, not just in this country, especially poorer countries, emerging nations, pushing more people into hunger.
Well, we're going to go into something a little bit more light before we get back into talking about Bitcoin. And this is your weekly segment, Levity is Golden. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people working at home, couples together, since the pandemic started. And I think you have something you want to share with us.
Well, you know, it's been long enough now, really going on 8 months into the pandemic. And those of us who've been in lockdown with someone, whether it's a coworker who spends some time in our house, or a spouse, partner, or significant others, people could write whole books about their other halves' weird habits and the little factoids about their childhood they've let slip out of sheer boredom. So if you're working from home together, you've no doubt met the work version of your partner too, which is probably a rare insight for most of us. I know it's been for me. Well, here's a brief look at some of my favorite tweets from husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends who are just now learning about their partner's work habits. The first one says, "You scheduled a recurring work meeting at 7:30 a.m. on Mondays? What kind of monster are you?" "He eats his last slice of pizza from crust to tip." "From crust to tip. Who did I marry?" "My husband pours the baked bean sauce out and eats the beans dry. Am I the only one who finds this weird?"
No.
"What I've learned about my partner in quarantine is that he literally has no flaws." That was my wife, by the way. "The one thing I've learned about my boyfriend since living with him that actually deeply disturbs me is that he likes to drink his Coca-Cola warm."
Yuck.
I've seen more of that in the last 6 months from friends and family members, I care to admit. Here's another one. "I just found out my partner double spaces after the period." Wow, that's pretty anal, Melody, don't you think?
I do.
I know. I cut that out. "I just learned that it took a pandemic to get my boyfriend to clean the kitchen." You know, that's a chronic problem, isn't it? "The worst part of working from home is having my wife hear all the work jargon I use. I told someone I'd be, quote, out of pocket this afternoon. She asked me what that meant, and I told her I literally have no idea." "Things I've learned about my husband since quarantine: he had never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off until today. He watches a lot of documentaries, and his middle name is Ryan." Sounds like they need a weekend retreat, Melody.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my gosh. Here's one. "My boyfriend just learned that Judy Garland was Liza Minnelli's mom. Homeschooling during the pandemic has been exhausting, to say the least." We'll skip this one. "Oh, my husband talks on Zoom calls as if he's had to communicate to the entire crowd at the Super Bowl without a microphone." Just a few more here. "Things I've learned about my partner since working from home: one, he should not eat dairy anymore. Two, he types louder than anyone I've ever heard. And three, I would absolutely make fun of him to other co-workers if he were my co-worker." That's my wife too, I'm afraid. "I just found out my husband has 20,000 unread work emails, and now I want to go cry in a corner. It gives me anxiety. How does he do it?" Now that, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, sounds like my wife. And last but not least, I've learned that my wife, this is me personally, I've learned that my wife can go three straight days and nights during a pandemic never getting out of her pajamas. See, I can say that because she typically doesn't listen to me, this program, I should say. Anyway, Melody, that is this week's Levity is Golden.
Well, you know, I don't know, in those cold winter days, living in central Pennsylvania, when you've received 2 feet of snow, there's not much else you can do but stay in your pajamas.
Yep, that's
until
true.
That snow melts. So, yeah, maybe that's I've been true. There, too. Maybe not 3 days. That's a long time.
in the lower 70s here the last couple of days, but who's counting?
You know, I want to talk a little bit about, we'll probably be ending the program with Bitcoin. It surged to its highest level since July of 2019 after PayPal announced it will allow customers to use cryptocurrencies. The largest digital coin increased as much as 8% and surpassing the previous high for the year of 12,473 that was set back in August. Gains among so-called altcoins were a little bit larger. You had Litecoin jumping more than 12%. PayPal customers can now use cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ether, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin on the platform. Shares of PayPal jumped as much as 5%. Its biggest intraday increase since September 9th. This is pretty much the biggest news of the year in crypto, adding the banks will embark on a race to service digital currencies. We have crossed the Rubicon, and that's from Mike Novogratz. He runs the Galaxy Investment Partners. You can go ahead and talk about how PayPal, the rest of that, Dave, before I came across a really good article addressing this strategy.
Sure, just a little bit more to add to what Melody has already said. PayPal said it plans to make these features available as a funding source for purchases at its 26 million merchants around the world, and plans to expand it to its Venmo app soon as well. Now, users do face some limitations on PayPal. They can't transfer coins in and out of accounts and can only hold cryptocurrencies that they bought on PayPal. Data from blockchain researcher Chain Analysis shows that hardly anyone uses Bitcoin for anything beyond speculation. This article says partly it's due to its wild price swings. I would guess that it's due a lot to that. Also a lot due to the fact that 95%+ of the world knows very little about how it works. And I suspect that close to 50%, if not more, of Bitcoin investors know very little about how it works as well. The coin is up about 70% this year, but still about $7,000 away from its all-time high of $20,000 set in December 2017. Earlier this year, the pandemic was just getting underway. In a sell-off, it fell 31% just like that. So, Melody?
And you know what? You know, the key thing is who does use PayPal anymore? And, you know, it certainly did move the announcement, certainly did move. But, I mean, if you have a Bitcoin that's $12,000, what can you buy through PayPal? You know, most people use PayPal for eBay. I don't think they sell too many things. They might for, you know, $12,000 plus. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know. But the whole point of this is, you know, from what I've been hearing from customers, everybody's talking about the Great Reset. We do have, news all across the corners of the globe. And this is an article out of Laissez-Faire today. And so I'm reading from some of it, not all of it, because it's just too lengthy. And news has emerged from all corners of the globe about central banks adopting their cryptocurrencies. And why I'm reading this is because he has some really good facts, and I believe. You have this European Central Bank has been coming out with the chatter. We've had, you know, people telling me China today is going 100% crypto. The Federal Reserve in the U.S., we've known, has been working closely with MIT to create a digital dollar. There's talk of the Fed coin might be closer at hand than we thought. October 19th, where he addressed cross-border payments of digital currencies. He spoke about that at the IMF. You know, I mean...
I'm sorry, Melody. I just had a vision, real briefly. As much as we're fans of the Fed, can you imagine our country becoming dominated by the Fed coin?
The Fed coin, I know. But, I mean, there is a lot of talk from these central bankers and from these around the world, and you can't deny that. But where you had the Cleveland Fed president, Loretta Mester, she said legislation has proposed that each American have an account at the Fed in which digital dollars could be deposited as liabilities of the Federal Reserve banks, which could be used for emergency payments. Then this narrative is also being pushed by Simon Potter, who worked at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Julia Cornano, who spent 8 years as an economist. I mean, the list goes on and on. But on the surface to the average individual, this might sound pretty good. Cut out the bankster middlemen and let them deal directly with the Fed, direct monetization, especially because of the way the stimulus was doled out earlier this year. And we're going to finish this up because it is important. And it just tells you how much more important it is for you to have gold. Not Fed coin, not to be dealing with the Fed directly. Are you want complete control? We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Please join us then. Thank you, Dave. Good night and God bless.
Bye-bye.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.